Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll go ahead and begin here. I'm just going to read a couple verses from Philippians, if you want to turn there. Don't worry, we won't hear another sermon. We already had that. So, but I thought we'd just read just a few verses here. This is Paul's letter to a church in Philippi, and it's actually a thank you letter. We had a missionary here a few weeks ago when he talked a little about that, and he preached from the very end of that letter, which is a great passage where the missionary says, hey, when you gave to me and you prayed for me and you encouraged me, that was fruit that abounded to your account. So as Paul traveled as a missionary, he had these ministry partners, and that's actually the word that we're going to look at in just a minute. So let me just read the beginning of this letter. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. And this is what I want to focus on, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word fellowship, did we just fellowship? Well, we had food, and that's what Baptists call fellowship. But it's a little bit deeper and even broader than just that concept. So now, certainly we enjoy eating food together, but eating food together isn't the same as fellowship. It can be included in fellowship, which is one of the great blessings that that we just had. But fellowship, if you kind of think about Paul, what is he talking about? Well, he's thanking them. He's away from them. He's actually in prison, but he's been on missionary journeys, and he's thanking them for their, we could probably use the word partnership. So this word translated fellowship, koinonia, you may have heard of that, has the idea of participation. Sometimes it's translated sharing or giving. The idea is participating in something. It comes from a shorter word that means common. So it kind of has this participation or partnership with something that we hold in common. The word is used in the Gospels referring to Peter, James, and John, and they were partners in a fishing business. And it uses this word. They had this partnership, partners. And so Paul is saying, I'm thankful for you, but one of the reasons he's so thankful, and he later goes on to say, I have you in my heart, it's kind of has very full of feeling, this letter he writes, because of what we have in common, because of our common participation in something. Because of the committed partnership that we have. And what is it in verse 5? What is that partnership in? For your fellowship in the gospel. We sometimes have this word that's used, evangelical. And that's sometimes books are written or articles or even conferences. And the question is, what is an evangelical? And no one really knows. Is it a political thing? Is it describe, you know, certain groups within Christianity? What is an evangelical? So we won't get into that, only to say, but that's actually the idea, is an evangelical comes from that word gospel. Gospel simply means good news. And so we are, whether or not you use the label evangelical, we are partners in the gospel. And of course, that's the mission of the church, isn't it? The gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, discipleship within the gospel, the spreading of the gospel both in our community as well as sending out missionaries who will spread the gospel. Gospel is really the center of what the church does. And so as we have some people who are coming to be new members of Meadowlands Baptist Church, basically what they're saying formally is we are becoming partners with this group of people for the sake of the gospel. reason we have them share their testimony is just to confirm that they believe the gospel. And so you'll hear a brief version of their testimony. I got to hear the longer version, and so I would encourage you to, you know, have them over or go out for coffee or just sometime after service say, you know, I'd like to hear a little bit more of what you shared. And I'm sure they'd be happy to do that. But this is a little more of a briefer version. So each one of the people who'll be sharing their testimonies indeed believe the gospel. Some of them, when I'm talking to people about membership, I'll even ask this question. I'll say, can you share the gospel in a minute? You know, what is the gospel? And that's kind of a good exercise. I've done that to my kids as well. And we do that every interview for staff for our Christian school. We ask them to just say, hey, what is the gospel? And sometimes we'll have interviews with people that kind of go blank on that and aren't quite sure what to say. They normally don't become staff members of our school, if that's the case. And some, you know, you ask a couple follow-up questions. Oh, okay, I know what you mean by that. This may be from a background. But what is the gospel? Well, that's what you're going to hear from these people. But gospel is the good news. And it's good news that as sinners, Christ came to save us, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he rose again. Paul summarizes the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the basics, right? And of course, it's a lifetime to deepen our understanding of what the gospel is and all that the Lord has done for us. And so we never move on past the gospel, although we certainly understand the gospel more than when we first believed. And so we are partners in the gospel. And so these folks are making a formal declaration to say, hey, there are other gospel communities in Edmonton and beyond. We're going to partner with this community of believers in our shared commitment and responsibility in this mission of sharing the gospel, both here in this building through discipleship to children, but also outside of this building in our growing community. And this is our mission, and this is our lifestyle. And we're going to encourage one another in it. We're going to keep each other accountable within it. And we're going to have refuge within the gospel. As I was talking with someone at lunch, and some of all the confusion in our society, well, isn't this a place of refuge where, oh, we know the truth because of God's word and because we're partners together in the gospel of truth. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll call one by one the different people who are going to share their testimonies. Each one of these, sometimes we'll do baptisms as well, and people become members at baptism, but all seven of these have already been baptized by immersion, and so they are just simply sharing their testimony as they're new to this assembly, but are already a part of the body of Christ and have already been baptized. And so I will call them up, but as we do, if you have a less awkward way to do this, we could always do it differently. But what we will do is after each person or couple shares their testimony, they'll just go to their seats. I'll have everyone close their eyes. If you're a member, I'll just say those that are members in favor of this person joining, raise your hand. Those opposed, lift your hand. And then whatever I say next, it means that they were voted in. So the reason we post the names on the bulletin board a week ahead is if you're going to vote no, you're supposed to tell pastor ahead of time. So we don't generally have anyone voting no, because that's supposed to take place in case there was some issue there. So let's pray, and then we'll have first Emil and Tarina, and I'm going to say Tebej, but I probably said it not quite right. But we'll have them come up and be the first. Father, we're thankful for this time of gathering, really just as a family. What a blessing to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be partners together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We realize that we have this great treasure in earthen vessels. We're certainly not worthy to bear this wonderful treasure of the good news of Christ, but we're thankful to be able to do it and to do it with other like-minded people. We thank you for each of the seven here that will be sharing their testimonies. I pray that you would use them. No doubt there is someone even here that will hear the gospel, and that you, we pray that you would draw them to your Son through hearing this truth. So we pray that you'd help them as they share, and bless our time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Emil and Trina.
Looks good. All right. Well, you make public speaking look very easy, Kevin. I do not enjoy public speaking, but I'm also very honored for this opportunity. And also, before I start, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody. Since we've been coming, we felt very welcome. And so I just want to thank you all for that. So I'll get started. So last name, even it's a French name. I'm not too good at pronouncing it, but my name's Trina Tiberge. I was very privileged to be born in a loving Christian home. I was born and raised in Vancouver, and we went to church every Sunday, attended school, Sunday school, memorized verses, went to vacation Bible school, and I also had a lot of good Christian friends. I learned from a very young age that I was born a sinner and I needed to be saved, and I always knew that. It was when I was 5 that I was first convicted about my eternal state. We were at some family friend's place for a movie night, and the movie we watched was called Left Behind. I don't know if anyone has seen that, but probably not for a 5-year-old to watch. I have very vivid memories of this movie, and it really scared me. The thought of the Lord returning to the earth to take all of the Christians home to heaven and leaving everyone else behind, it terrified me at the time. So that night, after getting home from our friend's place, I decided I really wanted to become a Christian and be saved from being left behind, I thought. So I told my parents that night that I'd gotten saved, and life kind of carried on after that. Being so young, my parents, you know, they were excited for me, but they probably thought to themselves that time will tell if she's truly saved. And they were right. A few years passed, and I started having some doubts. I would come home from school and immediately go looking for my mom to make sure she was home and the Lord hadn't left me behind. This started happening more and more often every day, and I was always so relieved to see her. But I began to wonder why I was having these doubts and if I was truly saved. Because there was one time my brother and I got home from school and my mom wasn't there. She always was. And we really panicked. We thought I'd missed our opportunity. But 5 minutes later, she pulled into the driveway and she was home, so we were quite relieved. But it was after that experience that I really realized I was unsure of my salvation and my eternal future. Even as a young kid, I knew it was a very serious matter and I needed to be sure. I also knew it wasn't something that I should put off or forget about. I'd been taught the verse 2 Corinthians 6:2, where it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I just wasn't sure what to do from there, and I actually did nothing at the time. So again, a few years passed by, and our family entered into a very trying time. It's always when I cry for this part. I apologize. My mom was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed a year later. I was about 9 years old at the time when she passed, and as you can imagine, it was a very hard thing to go through. And then continued on. 2 months later, some really close family friends in our church also lost their mom to a brain tumor, and it was just really hard at the time, understanding why it was all happening, but the Lord always has a plan. And I wanted to share the verse, Deuteronomy 31 and 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Thank you. Oh, smart. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That was Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. So when my mom passed, I was convicted again. The Lord used that to convict me again. I had many doubts. I knew my mom was in heaven, and I knew I wanted to be there someday. I just didn't know how I could be sure. A few more years passed by. I left it again. And another thing happened in our church family. Their 21-year-old son was actually diagnosed with terminal cancer as well. But he was asked to speak one last time at our church. And that was a very solemn service, I remember. He spoke about salvation and how important it is to know where your soul will be for eternity. And what I remember most about that service was the peace he had. He knew he only had a few months to live, and yet he was at peace with death and eternal life. And I knew that was the peace I wanted, that was the assurance I wanted, and that was the joy of eternal life in heaven. And from a young child, I believe, like I said, Jesus died on the cross, take my sin away, and he rose again. It's always my favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it was that evening that salvation was more important than anything else. And I chose to put my entire trust in Jesus and his work on the cross, and I've never had a doubt since. And I can now say I look forward to the day of his return or the day he takes me home to be with him. Thank you for listening.
Can't be too close to that. Good afternoon, everyone. Good opportunity. I like the opportunity to share my story of how God saved me, not so much because I can talk to you guys, but it's really all about God's work and how he worked in my life and showed his kindness and his grace and his love to a sinner like me. My name is Emile Théberge. So Kevin got it pretty good for, I always give people credit for trying, so don't be afraid to try to pronounce her last name, won't be hard on you. By God's grace, I grew up in a Christian family in southern Quebec. My parents, however, they weren't Christians growing up, but they were saved in their early 20s through some informal Bible studies that a coworker of my mom invited them to attend. Growing up as a young child, I was taught about God and about his son Jesus. We read Bible stories as family, prayed, memorized verses. We attended church meetings every Sunday, including Sunday school. And on top of that, whenever the opportunity presented itself, my parents would take every opportunity to bring their children to be under the sound of the gospel, even if it meant to travel a fair distance and time. I never doubted that God existed. I knew I was a sinner, having memorized Romans 3:23 at a very young age, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also being reminded by my mother whenever I'd get in a fight with my siblings. But somehow I thought I was a little better than the average kid, since I didn't really do the bad sins that other people did. I was too proud to admit that I wasn't saved if people would ask me. As I was getting a little older, around 9 or 10, I started being more troubled about my souls and really having a more burning desire to be saved. Just the thought of the Lord's coming scared me because I knew I wasn't ready. I struggled a lot with the word believing. How could I know if I believed hard enough? How can I know for sure if I'm saved? That's something that I really couldn't quite grasp. I would hear people say that getting saved is simple, it's easy, and that would usually make me quite upset and mad because there I was, not saved. I wanted that peace that the Bible talks about, that peace that only God can give. At the age of 11, our family attended a gospel service at our home church, and the speaker that night spoke on Isaiah in chapter 53. I had heard a lot of sermons before on this chapter, and it was I was very familiar, even memorized some of the verses. But that night, verse 5 really stood out to me in a very different way than it did before. And Isaiah 53 and 5 reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And that night I understood that when Jesus suffered on the cross, he paid for my sins. And I took it really personal that night. I understood that it was, well, not just for the world, but it was for me. And he did all the work that was necessary for me to be free from my sins. And it's not my believing or how hard I believe that saves me, but who I believe in. And for the first time that night, I could say that I'm sure that I'm saved. What a blessing to be sure to be saved. I'm so thankful for such a faithful Savior and one that I can turn to at any time of need because he never changes. And I was baptized later on at the age 15 and become part of my home church a few years after that. And if any of you have any questions for myself or my wife Trina, we're very open to discuss more and to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We'll have each person just close your eyes, and those members in favor of Emil and Trina joining with us, just lift your hand. Okay, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. So we welcome the Teberge family, great to have them with us here. And actually, Tarina's father visiting, so great to have him in town for a little bit. All right, next we have Paige Bonneville.
Hello. Yes, you did say that right. I'm Paige Bonneville. I grew up in a home where you pray a prayer and ask Jesus into your heart to be a Christian. There was no true knowledge of the gospel or what Jesus' purpose was. When I was 9, my parents first heard the true gospel from a Paul Washer sermon. They were saved, baptized, and they began teaching our family about sin, the cross, the wrath of God, and salvation. Like a child, I immediately believed what my parents said as the truth and tried to repent again and again, but I never seemed to change. I kept being called to repent, and I became discouraged that I wasn't getting saved. So after a few years, I put thoughts of these on the back burner until I was old enough to understand better. When I was a teenager, a family member fell away from Christianity. Someone who had been baptized and took part in communion admitted to us that she didn't believe in the gospel. I was rather shaken by this. If she wasn't truly saved, if she was so influenced by bad company, what good would I be? I knew I was a people pleaser. I spent years going through different levels of worry over my salvation. I looked at those Christians around me who looked so godly, knowing how short I fell. Was my Christianity simply a product of obeying my parents, I was afraid of tricking myself. I often got uptight about it and pulled myself back from thinking too much over it because of how negatively it was affecting me and my thoughts. The church my family went to had something called Women of Grace, where ladies of the church would share their testimonies and struggles through their lives. This helped me with comparing myself to others and thoughts of myself falling so much shorter than them. Each of them had sinned and fallen short themselves, even as Christians, and it was God's grace that pulled them through. Our pastor's wife lent me a book on assurance, and in it I learned that assurance is not gained by looking at oneself, but rather looking at God's faithfulness. A super amazing sermon by Paul Washer helped a lot as well, when he said that when your joy is based on your own performance, it will change. But when you base your joy on what God has done, it is consistent and eternal. I was 21 when God's word finally started to reach my heart. I looked at 1 John 3:19-20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. It hit me that everyone sins, and we can beat ourselves up over our failure to do good. While our sin ought to drive us to God, we must remember that God is greater than our own self-condemnation, and he already knew the worst of us before he made us. I had a low view of God's incomprehensible love, but even so, God still loved and took care of me. I could only rely on Christ's work on the cross, and there's nothing I can do now to make him love me more than he did then. Like 1 John 4:9-10, where it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him, and in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I am uncertain the exact time I was truly saved, but I was baptized with confidence at 21. My life has been filled with God providing for me before I even needed to ask. I started coming to this church last year, and I would like to continue to serve him here.
Thank you, Paige. You can close your eyes. Those in favor of Paige joining together with our church family, lift your hand. You can put him down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. It's great to have Paige with us. Paige also works here, works for the school during the week, so it's great to have her in our church as well as here on staff here. It's a real blessing. Next, we have Alicia Lewis and Justin Silger. So Justin and Alicia are engaged. They have their wedding will be here in August, so we've been doing premarital counseling, and that's all been exciting. So I'll just have them come together because they're single, but they will be together, married here shortly. So you both come together and share your testimonies.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. As Pastor Kevin said, my name is Alicia, and I just want to share a short snapshot of my testimony and how I came to faith, and would love to continue attending here and join this church family. A little bit about my background. I was raised Catholic and attended a Catholic school for the majority of my childhood through to the 12th grade. I received all of the normal sacraments, including baptism, First Communion, confirmation. I was an altar server, attended Mass with my family, had one-on-one confession. We were fully immersed into the Catholic faith. For a time after that, I actually fell away, so graduated from high school and kind of just started going the opposite way. I was not a regular church attender anymore, and towards the end of 2015, I had received some devastating news from my doctor. And that was about my health. So just through annual health exams, the results came back and they were not good. I experienced what I would best describe as an unexpected and severe interruption to what was previously good health. Surgery was recommended as the course of action to remedy the issue. And then after several consultations with medical professionals, in the health system, I still felt as if another option wasn't being considered. All of the discussions thus far was only about surgery. There was never anything that, you know, gave another option. So I went away from those consultation meetings with those health individuals, and I just thought to myself, you know what, I remember a time when I used to go to church with my family and how safe I felt in that environment. So maybe that's where I needed to go back to. Those memories that I had ended up reducing me to a pile. I was completely emotional. I was in tears, and basically I was on my knees at that point. So I was convicted that I needed to seek God and have him help me through this very difficult situation that I was now experiencing. I prayed harder than I ever prayed in any moment of my life. In 2016, I became a different person. In that year, I began attending services every weekend to start. Within a few months, while my faith was still fledgling, I started to basically pray to the Lord about help for my health. And that's when I really developed an interest in God's word. So I started off with reading scripture, then looking at passages about how our body is a temple and nutrition and health. I continued to study God's word. I had this insatiable fervor. I just wanted to know more and more and more. And that led me to make lots of changes, including incorporating, you know, a different diet and exercise into my life. I even got a dog, and so that dog helped me with getting out there and continuing on with exercise. So I was just spending a lot of my time in God's word and in God's creation. One of my favorite verses that really stuck out to me was, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." And that's in Exodus 23, verse 25. I was healing my mind, my body, and my soul with the change of direction in my life. In 2016, I can no longer deny the changes that had happened deep inside my heart, and I made a commitment to follow Jesus and become his disciple. Soon after, I was rebaptized and welcomed into the family of God. By 2017, I started regularly volunteering in prison ministry. I started talking with inmates about the love of God and that they can have their lives radically changed as he had done to mine. God's word says, "I was in prison and you came to me," Matthew chapter 25, verse 36. As I continued my studies of scripture, I realized that current events were unfolding exactly as the Bible says. And this realization only deepened my own faith. Reading God's word helps me in my conversations with those inmates, which I still do today. And I try to help them establish their individual journeys of faith. Sorry about that. As I continue my own journey of faith, I believe that my purpose in being is to glorify my God and his Son, Jesus Christ, through the help of the Holy Spirit on my way to becoming the best example here on earth that I can possibly be. Coming to faith in Christ has transformed my life. Before, I experienced anxiety, stress. Now I experience a sense of purpose, durable and long-lasting sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. I have experienced a number of miraculous events in my own life, including my personal healing as a direct result of prayer and faith. And this is evidenced by the complete remission of my 2015 health condition, which was confirmed through annual health exams. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. In December of 2021, while I was laid off from work, I met my fiance, Justin. We went on our first date on my birthday, and he was already attending here at Meadowlands. His parents have attended here for about 10 years, and they're here today. I was going to another Baptist church at that time with my mom, who's also here, and Justin invited me to come to Meadowlands. So we came here for the first time together in February of this year. For a time, we would actually attend both churches, so we would go back and forth between the two. While contemplating which church family would be the best fit for us, and we believe that that best fit is Meadowlands Baptist. These past 2.5 years have taught me the importance of strong Christian relationships, especially with God and with others within the body of Christ. I look forward to growing in my understanding of Scripture, connecting with the community here, as he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we can all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, stature, and the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Thank you for your consideration of my request to become a member, and may God bless you all.
Hello, I'm Justin Silger. My testimony starts with being born into a family that is very passionate about God. I grew up surrounded by elders who love to sing the gospel songs and speak about the Lord and his amazing book. My family would get together and I would hear them sing while they formed a choir around the piano and sang songs out of the hymns books that they had. They all loved to take turns leading and singing the parts beautifully. My family were also very much involved with the church and the youth programs that were being ran. They volunteered and became leaders at the Awanas program while we were very young. And through this program, we got to challenge ourselves by memorizing Bible verses and hearing Bible stories, as well as playing games in the auditorium. One night at the family farm, I was very curious about how one can become a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. My parents talked with me and gave me counsel on that it's a life commitment and there will be challenges throughout my life that might make me question what I believe. After a prayer and a few minutes of thinking over what I wanted to do, I asked my parents how I could accept the Lord into my heart and become a believer. Through this discussion, and I had another prayer that night to ask the Lord to come into my heart and that I wanted to be the best believer that I could be for him. I ask for forgiveness of my sins and to forgive anyone that may have wronged me, as well as for the guidance and knowledge and wisdom on how my journey on being a believer would become. I knew from the stories through Awanas and family that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but ever have everlasting life, is something of a gift from God that I can never forget. Jesus lived a life of purity, committing no sin, and died on the cross for all of our sins, and then rose again. This is something I tell myself every time someone may have wronged me, that if Jesus is able to forgive me for any sin that I may have committed, that I too can forgive others. I was somewhere between the ages of 4 and 6 when I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart, and when I came upstairs to tell the family, it was a proud moment and an exciting moment to share with all my loved ones. I have watched my sisters and brothers get baptized and also my cousins. I have seen how the Lord can transform the lives of others through his word, and that I too want to confess the Lord as my Savior, and that I am also a believer that believes that he has lived on the earth as I am, as a man, and died on the cross as a man and rose again. All of this just to pay the ultimate price for our sins, that we too may live in heaven with him one day. As this is a commandment from the Lord himself, Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke of them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." One of my favorite verses that helps me through the challenging times is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, through I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through this verse and the entire Bible, it only gives me comfort to know that he will never forsake me and that the Lord holds his promises and that no one else can be as loving, amazing, and powerful as God himself. And I want to share this with everyone that I can. I really, truly enjoy being a member of this church, if it is your will. Thank you.
All right. So you can close your eyes again. Those in favor of Justin and Alicia joining together with our church family, just lift your hand. Okay, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. Great to have you as part of our church family, and looking forward to coming together as husband and wife here in just a couple months. Next, we have Katie Smid.
Hello, everyone. I was raised in a Christian home, and my family started attending Meadowlands when I was 3 years old. So from a very young age, I was taught about God, the Bible, and the gospel, and that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, Romans 3:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23, and that God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. A couple of weeks before I turned 7, I was here in an evening Sunday school class taught by Susan Friedrichs. The lesson was about the gospel and salvation, and that was when I decided to quietly pray and ask God to forgive me for my own sin, to repent of it, and ask to be saved from its eternal consequences. Because even at 6 years old, though my knowledge of sin was more limited, I still understood what it was and why it was wrong. A few years later, when I was 10 years old, I was baptized by immersion here at Meadowlands. Growing up, sometimes I struggled with doubts about my salvation, whether I was really a Christian or just a good kid. Thankfully, I had people I could talk to about it who pointed me back to the truth of Scripture, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and it is God's gift to us, not something we can achieve through our own efforts. Morality without regeneration is empty. The decision to put my faith and trust in God was a personal one, not because I went to church or because my parents were Christians, although I am very thankful for both of those things. Looking back, I can see the things God has done in my life, his grace and protection, and the way he has worked in me through various circumstances and given me a desire to honor and obey him, though I do it imperfectly. I began to recognize this more when people I grew up with in Christian circles started to leave the church and make choices that differed from mine and were contrary to what God has commanded in his word of how we are to live. I'm thankful for all the people God has brought into my life through this ministry, the teachers, pastors, friends, and seeing you live out your faith greatly encourages and motivates me to do the same. May God continue to use you for his glory, and I hope to continue to serve alongside you for as long as the Lord allows me to. Philippians 4:20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And we'll close our eyes again. Those in favor of Katie, join together with us. If you'd lift your hand. All right, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. And it's great to have Katie officially a member after growing up here and being a part all these years. We have one final testimony. Samantha C. Samantha's over here.
Thank you so much for coming to this service, and I'm very happy to be here to also share my testimony. So I'm just going to start here now. I'm a little bit longer, so please bear with me. My parents brought me up going to church, and I'm grateful to have avoided many pitfalls while growing up under my mom and dad's teaching and Christian worldview. My relationship with Christ began in high school. I found myself struggling, and I was feeling pressure to perform on the sports team I was in and to do well in my grades so that I could apply to university. And I was struggling to find a sense of belonging in the public school I was in. My mom suggested that I try reading the Bible. And because I'd never actually given God a shot, I decided to give it a try, as I truly never had known God before. So I committed to reading the Word of God in the morning before getting out of bed for that day. My perspective over the course of that grade 11 year started to change because I started to learn that there was more, there was this God who was powerful and holy and deserving of respect. Little did I know that this was a practice of renewing my mind, as the Word of God states in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." When I was a kid, I could see that the world was imperfect. And because of that, I had always wished that I could go away to some other place that was always sunny, always joyful, and always fun. And I'm sure you guys might have felt the same way too, wishing there was heaven before you even understood the concept of heaven as a kid. When I realized that this place truly existed, that it was called heaven, and that I would be going there after I died because Jesus had saved me, I was so excited. Because I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory and rejected him, I don't deserve to be in communion with him in heaven. Rather, for breaking his commandments and sinning against God, people, and myself, I deserve the punishment of death. However, because God is both just and merciful, he paid the full price for my sins by giving the full sacrifice, his son, the perfect Lamb of God, on the cross, to take my sin away from me and for anyone else who believes. And because he is God, the Lord Jesus overcame death, rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of God and the mediator of the new covenant. This is the good news that I, through faith, believe, and for I have been called to walk by faith and not by sight. By faith through Jesus, I am sanctified. By faith through Jesus, I am justified. And by faith through Jesus, I have the armor of God, so I can stand protected against all the wiles of the enemy who tries to steal, kill, and destroy my salvation, my purpose, and my destiny. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. I was baptized between my grade 11 and grade 12 year, and during that ceremony, I remember saying that I knew I had a ticket to heaven, so I wanted to pack a good suitcase to show God that I had proved that I was a faithful servant. Now I continue to listen to the Holy Spirit because he gives me power, authority, wisdom, comfort, and direction to live out my life with a spirit of excellence as I practice, perfect, and multiply the talents that God has given me. Being obedient even when I don't want to, or don't understand, or don't think I can, or don't feel I need to, or don't think is possible, not only allows me to remain in him, but also shapes me to be faithful with small things, so that I can be faithful with greater things, and guards me from surrendering my anointing. And we see this many times in the Bible when people did not obey God because they didn't want to, or didn't understand, or didn't think they could, or didn't need to, or didn't think was possible, and felt the consequences of that. During my university years, God showed me many areas where I was lacking or broken. I have seen God's providence as I saw him build me up over the course of the last 5 years being apart from my family. One very influential Christian friend I met during my university years helped me to overcome a mental health obstacle I didn't even realize I had carried since childhood. Even today, I still remember the advice this friend gave me years ago. Praise God for providing people to be in the inner courts with us, even if only for a period of time, who walk alongside us and sharpen us as iron sharpens iron. One other area I will highlight in my testimony is the Lord purifying and softening my heart after I received salvation from him. I renounce my sins during my time of prayer with God. I repent of things that have offended my God and grieve the Holy Spirit. For example, I resign from fear and worry. I resign from anger. I resign from pride. I resign from placing my identity in things and positions. I resign from lust. I resign from impatience. I give all these things and yield to the Holy Spirit in order to have victory. To the Lord, I give up the grief, hurt, pain, and shame that the enemy uses to vex my soul and to turn off my discernment. I am adamant not to surrender my anointing to the enemy, the way that Samson stayed with Delilah and allowed her to vex him, to the point where he surrendered his supernatural strength to her, and as a result, he surrendered to the enemy his anointing. I continue renouncing and giving up things that bind me spiritually or that set up strongholds for the enemy. I replace those things with the things of God because God has given every believer an anointing, and I refuse to surrender my anointing to the enemy. Then I thank God for the blood of Jesus and for the finished work on the cross. Finally, I declare over my situation God's truths from his word. I also renew my mind every day. I am conscious of what I allow enter the gates of my temple. I am careful of what I allow enter my eye gate, ear gate, and mouth gate, because God will not bless me if my temple is contaminated and I am in spiritual bondage. 1 Corinthians 10:21 states, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the temple of the Lord and the temple of demons and the table of demons." God will provide for me, but I cannot achieve my purpose and destiny if I am in bondage. Neither can people around me be able to see God if I am not holy. I am also called to be set apart from the world, to be different from the world, to spend my time doing things most of the world might not spend their time doing, while at the same time, with discernment, love the world through the power of the Holy Spirit by treating the world, my family, and my neighbors with the fruit of the Spirit. I do my best to speak words of life and not words of death because I understand that my tongue holds the power of life and death, and I must also give an account to God for every word I speak. I am careful of what I watch, what I entertain in person and online. I am careful of the music I listen to and the material I read. I do all this to guard in perfect peace my mind of Christ, I contend for all the real estate in my mind so the enemy cannot neutralize my mind and take control. I declare that the enemy cannot win the battle in my mind because my mind is in the Lord and my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I guard my salvation because my salvation is worth more than anything else on the planet. I stand strong. I may be shaken at times, but I will not fall or drift away from God because my house, my identity, my mind, my heart, my soul, and my body are in the Lord. I'm called to be a thriving believer, not simply a surviving believer. I'm not wishing on a lucky star that God will do something good today. When Jesus said, "It is finished" on the cross, he overcame the world. This means that he has also given me everything to overcome the world, everything I need to fight the good fight and get back home to God.
Thank you, Samantha. I'll have you close your eyes and we'll do this one last time here. Those in favor of Samantha joining together with her church family, lift your hand and you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. And Samantha, welcome. It's great to have you as part of our church family as well. Thank you for sharing these testimonies and such a blessing. I can't think of anything more thrilling than hearing what God has done in a life. Maybe you've heard these and you wouldn't be able to share a testimony because you don't have Christ in your life. Well, this is where each one of these people started, is hearing the good news like you did today. And so if you have any questions about what it means to be a follower of Christ or if you have doubts about what will happen to your soul when you die, any one of these people or I or probably anyone in this room would be happy to answer questions, but we'd love to give you that same assurance that you just heard. And what a blessing to be part of a church family, to be partners in the gospel, not because we're worthy of it, but because he has given us his grace and he is doing a work in us and he is using us for his glory. Why don't we close by just singing the called the doxology, "Praise God, to whom all blessings flow." Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thanks for being here. Have a good afternoon.